Sponsoring this series of FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp, is Norwegian Cruise Line, better known to some as NCL.
Right, well, look, Dad, listeners and watchers to this podcast will probably be feeling the English cold right about now.
I tell you what's not cold, bro. In your mum's bedroom.
Whoa!
Oh, no, why? Well, look, we didn't need to know that. But look, good news. To escape the cold, NCL offers more opportunities to visit the Caribbean with 13 ships sailing the region this year.
Oh, we've seen it for ourselves now, haven't we, Ro? I am going to cherish those father and son memories forever. We were on board Norwegian Encore for a week and it had all the bells and whistles. I mean, what was your favourite part, Ro?
Yeah, I mean, we have to mention the Encore Speedway, one of the only racetracks at sea and an NCL exclusive experience.
Ah, for sure. But what about all the entertainment? There's the Choir of Man and even the nightclub.
Yeah, I mean, you really enjoyed the Beatles tribute band, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And the fact that they were even at the Cavern Club, which was actually inspired by the legendary Liverpool club where the Beatles regularly performed. It was absolutely amazing.
Norwegian Cruise Line offers more with its brand new More at Sea package. More to see, more to do, more to enjoy.
How you doing, bro?
Yeah, good. What are you looking at? What is it?
I just bought a new car.
You bought a new car?
Yeah. You want to see?
Yeah. What in the Michael Caine is that?
He's an E-Type, an old E-Type Jag.
Why have you bought that?
Well, because when I was a kid, I used to have an E-Type Jag, and I always thought it was the car that got away that I should never have sold. So
you had this car?
I had a red one, yeah.
Right.
But I just saw it, and I just thought, why not, you know, relive a little bit of my youth.
Have you driven it yet?
Yeah.
And what's it like to drive?
Oh, it's lovely.
How much do you spend on it?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you.
Cover your mouth. Let me see. How much do you spend? Fuck off.
What?
You fucking joking?
No.
On that banger?
It's not a banger. I'm not telling you how much.
You just did.
Yeah, but I can't tell you. You didn't make sure you didn't hear that on the mic.
Well, you fucking did. Everyone did.
No, they didn't. Did
yeah,
you?
They did.
You
did, yeah. Did you? I said, hey, everyone heard it.
What?
Everyone heard it because you didn't whisper it. I said, mouth it.
Cut that out. You got to beep that.
I said, mouth it. You went.
Oh, okay.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
Did mum know how much you paid for that?
Yeah. Oh, come on. I worked my bollocks off. I'm allowed to buy something that I like. Aren't I?
Is it real?
It's real, yeah. I know it looks like a toy.
It looks almost too clean to be genuine.
No. So it's like a pucker.
Where'd you buy it?
Some bloke on the internet.
Don't drive it. Wrap it in cling
film. What do I buy for myself? What do I buy for myself?
Well, I was going to say this when you walked in. Why have you got an Apple Watch?
Well, I've got an Apple now. What's wrong with my Apple Watch?
Why have you got an Apple Watch?
Because everybody else has got Apple Watches.
What do you need an Apple Watch for?
Because when I get a...
A phone call, you still don't answer it.
Yeah.
It's on your hand and you still don't answer it.
Don't answer phone calls, but... If I get an email, it buzzes.
When did you get the Apple Watch? Have you come into a load of money that I don't know?
No, I haven't.
What?
Look. When you're a kid...
Let me say this.
When you are your age, it is all about saving for the future. Right, you put everything away. You think, how can I make money for the future? How can I, you know, when I get to early retirement, how can I do that? But when you get to my age, you split the difference. Some of it, some money you save, but other money you've got to enjoy it.
What, and buy a wacky racer's car?
Yeah, if you want that, if you want a wacky racer's car, I think the two most beautiful things ever made in this country were the Spitfire. Aeroplane, right? Mm. And the E-Type Jag. And I wanted one of them. I can't buy the Spitfire, so I thought I'd get the E-Type Jag.
I mean, yeah, the inside does look good. It's in good nick.
It's in perfect nick.
Does mum know how much she spent on it? Be honest.
Kind of.
Is this the lad you bought it off?
Yeah.
I'm in your photos now. I can't believe I'm in your photos.
Yeah, but don't.
Well, I've got a picture of Ange Postecoglou.
But you know what? I can't work out, bro, because I'm stuck with it. Because every time someone WhatsApps me at some silly meme, it goes into my photos.
I can stop that.
So I've got a whole...
You've got everyone's pictures from WhatsApp. Yeah.
Yeah. They all keep going into my photos.
I know.
That's why I've got...
why have you got a picture of Martin Kemp, 80s DJ? You as a...
That's what someone sent me on WhatsApp, and it's gone straight in there.
Right, okay.
I don't...
I'm more intrigued about the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Do you know how to use it?
No. No, it's very complicated.
Yeah.
You've got to be very clever to work this. You do. But I do like it.
Yeah.
Because it buzzes if I get an email.
Just emails.
Yeah, well, it buzzes all the time. It gets on your nerves, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't believe you've still got it on. How long have you had it for?
A couple of weeks now.
I can't stand them.
Really?
Can't stand them. I like time without phone.
Yeah, but this is the Ultra.
The good thing that is for your heart stuff.
Yeah, I don't switch that on.
Why?
Well, because I don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
No, because if it starts buzzing, saying you've got a bad heart, what am I going to do?
Go to the doctors. It does your blood oxygen level as well and things like that.
It does that?
Yeah.
I've not switched that on either.
I'm not a fan of that.
No.
I'll tell you what, speaking of not feeling well, do you know what
I quite like it, actually.
I've had to use something.
What?
This week that I've never used in my life.
What?
Laxatives. Never used a laxative in my life.
Are you going down or are you going up?
Yeah, didn't realise there was an up one.
You got to do an up.
I've used an up one.
Oh, the up one. Oh, when did you put it in?
Yesterday.
Has it worked yet?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. I've
never had to use it actually in my life. I don't know if that's a thing of getting old.
Yeah.
But I felt clogged up.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's got to go.
I like the way when it does happen, it all comes out at once. It goes like, it's not like a long thing. It's like,
yeah.
And it's all out. The whole pan is brown. You know, it is. The whole thing, it comes out at once. I'm not just the only one saying it. Yeah. It does.
I had a mate once that he felt like that, right?
Yeah.
And this is a bad one. He took a laxative.
Yeah.
And he didn't realise how quickly they can act.
Yeah, they kick in really fast. Yeah.
Right. And he's an estate agent.
Yeah. Was he up or down though? Was he the bullet?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Bullet goes fast.
Yeah, but put it this way, he's an estate agent, right? And he was already late because he wasn't feeling well, blah, blah, blah. So he gets to the house to show this couple round.
Yeah.
Right? So he's showing this couple round to go and buy this house. And he's showing him downstairs and all of a sudden his stomach starts going.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He then points them upstairs. As they're walking ahead of him upstairs, he shits himself.
No.
Right? All the way up the stairs.
No.
He's gone down his trousers, right? He's then had to keep them at the top of the stairs.
Nice white carpet.
I don't know. Brand new house. But he had to keep them at the top of the stairs and told them to stay there. And then when they came back down, they had seen it and he said that the cat had...
No. No.
Oh, that is the worst.
Well, at least he got himself out of it.
I don't think you did, though, because the owner was like, I don't have a cat. The owner was like, I don't have a cat.
Who's this? The smell.
I know. Imagine that. Yeah. Imagine you're showing someone a house and you poo along the stairs.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Did he put it in before he went to work?
I don't know. He just said he wasn't feeling well and that he had to take one and not all this type of stuff and like blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
Oh, my God.
So they work. So I've never done that. Anyway, look, we need to crack on with this episode because this is quite. I mean, this will feel
it's
like
the last episode, isn't it?
Yeah, for a little bit. Yeah,
yeah.
But we'll
of this series.
Yeah. Well, everyone wants to know. We get so many messages about the same thing.
What?
Right. And so this will feel like a bit of a interview, but. So many people ask.
How comes you get all the messages? I don't get any.
Yeah, because you don't know how to use it. You don't even know how to use a watch.
Yeah, well, nothing's come up on my watch.
Yeah, because you spent all your money and now you're skint because of the car.
Yeah.
Right. Well, look. Live Aid.
Hang on, it's 14 degrees.
That's good.
It's just told me that.
Live Aid.
Yeah, Live Aid.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what everyone wants to know about?
What was the date? Do you remember?
13th of July, 1985.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. To raise money for which country?
Ethiopia and famine.
Yeah. Massive global fundraising event held on July 13th, 1985 to raise money for famine relief in Ethiopia. Featured a series of live concerts in Wembley Stadium, London, and John F. Kennedy Stadium. What, there was one in America?
Yeah, there were two at the same time. There was Philadelphia held it in over there, Live Aid. And obviously that was a little bit later because of the time difference. And our one was in Wembley Stadium. And so there were two gigs. I think there were a few bands, like I think it was Phil Collins and I think Duran Duran played both. They flew from one to the other. I don't think it was anyone else more than that. But it was an amazing afternoon, Ro. It was one of those moments, right, that for me, while I was doing it, while I was there taking part, it was, you know, most things are kind of like historical in retrospect, right? This was historical while you were there. You knew that it was going to last forever, this. 2 billion people, 2 billion around the world were watching it that afternoon.
And do you know, do you remember what time you went on stage?
Well, what happened, we were, Bob Geldof asked us to do it and we were one of the first to be asked, right?
Yeah.
So we thought we were kind of like closer to the end of the show.
Yeah.
And the more people that got asked, the lower down the list Spandau got. And so in the end, we were just, I think we were on stage about 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
You were on at 1:46.
Oh, so 46 minutes after it started.
Yeah.
So we dropped right down the list.
Yeah. No. It started at midday.
Oh, did it?
Did Duran Duran play? I don't think they did. They didn't play the...
I think so.
They didn't play the London one.
Or did they... Was it Power Station?
I don't know. See how many people you can remember that played that day.
Oh, I can't remember loads. I can't remember.
Go on. Chuck me some names.
I can't. Duran Duran, Elton John, Spandau.
No.
Queen,
Hang on. Elton John, yes.
Loads of them.
Queen, yes.
Nick Kershaw.
Yes, Nick Kershaw. Status Quo, yes. Status Quo played first.
Status Quo played first, yeah. And I'll tell you this little thing, because Spandau were one of the only bands to get the rehearsal on the day before.
Right.
So we went to Wembley Stadium about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was a beautiful day. And it was the happiest time that I ever remember with Spandau Ballet. That we were standing on the side of the stage, Status Quo were the other band to get a sound check, and they were on stage playing Rocking Around the World, Rocking All Over the World.
That was the first song.
Yeah, Rocking All Over the World.
And now...
And Spandau, yep. Me and the boys were standing on the side of the stage, arms around each other, singing along with Status Quo. And it was probably the happiest that I ever knew.
Everyone was on stage
band.
For the first song?
No.
So how are your arms around Status Quo?
No. Status Quo are rehearsing.
Oh, sorry.
They're rehearsing the day before.
Right.
And Spandau, we got there like earlier on and we were standing on the side of the stage watching them. And it was absolutely beautiful. It's my favourite memory of being in the band.
What happened to Adam Ant? He only played one song.
Yeah. He had kind of lost his momentum by then. You know, all the Kings of the Wild Frontier and Goody Two Shoes and all of that had kind of disappeared.
Who was on before you? Do you remember?
Ooh, don't remember that.
Ultravox.
Oh, Ultravox.
Who were they?
Ultravox, Midgeur.
Who's that?
Midge was part of the whole Band-Aid thing that started Live Aid.
Right? Oh, Band-Aid. Yeah, because I never understand. I thought Band-Aid was Live Aid.
No. Band-Aid was the Christmas record.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
What came first?
Band-Aid.
Right.
Christmas record. Do they know it's Christmas?
And then they made a load of money off that.
No, because what happened...
Like they gave the money charity.
Well, they gave they made the Band-Aid record, gave the money to charity, but like a lot of charities back in those times, that money got lost along the way. And it didn't make its final destination to where Bob wanted it to go. Bob Geldof wanted it to go.
Right.
So he said, we've got to do it again. We've got to make more money to give to them because, the corruption out there in that country at that time was humongous.
Yeah.
So the money never got there. So Bob said, let's do a gig. And that was Live Aid. That was to replace the money that got lost along the way from the Band-Aid record.
No George Michael.
George did do that.
Didn't play.
He did it with...
Did he play with the Elton. American one?
He came on stage with Elton.
Oh, and they said...
Yeah, don't let the sun go down on me.
Oh, that's why Mum was there.
Well, no, because Mum, actually, I had a bit of a weird one because I went to Live Aid in the morning, then I did the gig, and then I went home for a few hours because Mum had just come back from touring America.
Right.
With Wham.
Yeah.
So... I went back home, watched about a few hours of Live Aid in bed.
Right.
With Mum.
Right, gross. Right.
Well.
Gross.
She'd been away for ages.
All right, gross, yeah.
Oh, she was away for like 6 weeks
Yeah.
And then she'd come home. So I thought, go back home, you know.
Yeah.
Well. And so I spent most, and then I went back to Live Aid.
With Mum
to kind of like get involved in the rest of it. But when I went back, I saw the best thing that I'd ever seen in my life.
What?
Rock gig that I'd ever seen in my life. Queen were probably the best thing that I'd ever seen. That 20-minute show, you see, they were better than everyone else. They were cleverer, right? Because everyone went out there doing kind of like their singles, but Queen did a medley. So they squashed in about 10 of their best songs within 20 minutes.
Spandau. I was going to say, let me come to this. So Spandau Ballet, you did Only When You Leave, great song. You did True.
Yep.
What the hell is Virgin?
It was the worst mistake, right, of our lives.
What is Virgin?
It was terrible because Virgin was a track that we'd rehearsed. It was going to be on the new album coming out. Right, so can you imagine this? 2 billion people watching Live Aid, right? So we do True, we do Only When You Leave, little big hits, and then Tony goes up to the mic, he goes, 2 billion people watching. He goes, here's a new one.
No.
2 billion people around the world go, oh, bollocks.
Yeah.
You know when you go to see a band and they play a new song off the latest album?
Yeah, rubbish.
You don't want to know. And that
was us. One of the only ones to have done a new.
Yeah, yeah. Because our egos were bigger than everyone else.
Why do you not do Gold?
Because our egos were so big.
We thought
everybody would like to hear one of our new
was
ones.
Was Gold out at that point?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
But let me tell you something. What you don't understand is that at that point, Gold wasn't as big as it is now, right? It was True that was the big hit.
You had the opportunity to play Gold.
Yeah.
Like, just to say this, you had the opportunity to play Gold at Wembley at Live Aid in front of 2 billion people on watching it.
Yeah.
And you chose Virgin.
We thought Gold would be a little bit ostentatious in front of, like, if you're, like, singing for people of Ethiopia.
But I don't think it is. I don't think that is at all. I think you want to get the stadium blingy, rocking. Oh man.
No, it was a mistake, bad. Right? It was the worst mistake ever.
That is bad. Well,
I don't know whose idea it was. Probably Gary's. But yeah. It
sounds like a Gary's
idea. Yeah, that we played this track off the new album, and it was the worst mistake because when Queen got up there and they played a medley of their greatest hits, everyone loved it. Everyone, and that's what you should have done.
Who came on after you?
Haven't got a clue.
Elvis Costello.
Oh, okay.
Right. So we've had loads of questions about this.
Yeah. Go on.
I'll start off. Gabby says memorable moments chatting with other stars throughout the day.
Yeah, Elton John. Chatting with Elton John. I mean, when I was growing up, he was like the biggest star.
Can I ask you, at this gig, is everyone off their tits?
No.
They're not?
No. No, when we recorded Band Aid, that record, people were off their tits.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, it really was snowing inside the studio. You can't say that.
They will admit to it. They were off their nuts, hanging out by the bog all afternoon, and the longer it went on, the more people started to gravitate to the bog.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
No wonder the end speeds up.
Yeah. By the end of it, you can hear all the singers, like, their jaw kind of move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, starts getting a bit
dry
weird.
Mouth.
Yeah.
All right. So what, Live Aid? No one's like they're not. No, it's not a party.
No, because Live Aid was an amazing afternoon because it was the first time that all these bands had got together, you know, to play one show. You can't imagine anything like that happening.
Was there arguments over the dressing room?
No. Nothing. There was no arguments. There was no divas. There was nothing like that that I could imagine. I can remember because
someone asked who was the biggest diva.
Well, it wasn't like that. Everyone felt like it was chipping in, you know.
Everybody we marginally annoyed that there was no pay. No one was annoyed, no pay.
No, not I remember. I do remember there was a lovely kind of backstage area with caravans and white picket fences and plastic grass and
So what was the dressing room? Your caravan?
Caravans, and in trailers.
Right.
But in my memory, it was just such a lovely afternoon. It felt like all of these bands were out on a picnic, you know, and turning up and walking on stage and playing.
And was there anyone you were starstruck? That's from Lisa.
Starstruck, always David Bowie, always Freddie Mercury. Elton John, all the people that I'm always starstruck. Even today, when I meet somebody who was my hero when I was a kid, I'm always open mouthed and starstruck.
Mm. To be fair, you know, you said it was Tony that said this is a new song.
Yeah.
Max has said, tell Martin it wasn't Tony, it was Gary who took the mic and announced Virgin.
Is that right?
Sounds like a Gary thing.
It might be, yeah. Yeah, it might be. Yeah,
he would have written the song.
I don't remember who really said it. I just remember the crowd going, "Ah, oh, bollocks."
Was gold considered? That's a question as well. Who decided on what songs to perform? Clearly, people don't like the song choices that you did.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, who decided on what songs to perform?
Well, Only When You Leave had been a hit really recently, right? So
I like that song.
Yeah, Only When You
Leave.
That
should have been a James Bond song.
Yeah, it was a good song.
Yeah.
True, obviously, because that was obvious. A hit.
Yeah.
And then Virgin, I haven't got a clue why.
But did anyone ever say, well, that Gold might be good?
No, because what you don't understand is Gold wasn't a big song.
Then how did it get big?
Gold was number two in the charts, but it became bigger from, I think...
What, Gold never got number one?
No, it was number two.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't remember what kept it off number one, but it was number two. And it was number two for 4 weeks or something like that, but it wasn't... like the gold that we know now. Like most people, if you mention Spandau Ballet now...
Shout gold.
If they see me in the street, they say, oi, gold!
Yeah.
But it wasn't as big as True. True was enormous at that point, and that was the song that represented us.
They said, was it all friendly backstage?
It was. Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, I think going back to the Starstruck thing, I think the person that I was most of all in awe of that afternoon... was Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney?
Yeah, the Beatles. Because, you know, you remember 85.
I think the Beatles are the most overrated band in the world.
Well, you do now, but at the time, they were the first band in the world.
Yeah, someone just gasped. You just gasped.
The first band in the world. Yeah.
They're not the first band.
They were the first band in the world. They're not that. First band to make it huge.
Pharaohs in Egypt had bands.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Oh, go on. They're aliens.
I don't know what it is about the Beatles, like, and Paul McCartney.
Have you ever sat down and listened to it?
Yeah, it's all right. I just think, like, I don't know what it is.
Songs have you listened to then? What albums?
Oh, Submarine, Yellow Submarine.
That's not an album.
Sergeant Pepper. Like, it's all a bit boring. Like, and I just don't get it. I really don't get it. And then, like...
Let It Be is probably the best
now,
album ever made.
Now, it's like, you know, like, oh, it's always the same. It's like, it's like if there's a big concert, it's like, here we go, let's wheel out Paul McCartney again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, I don't want that.
Can you just check for me? What was the last song played? What did Paul McCartney play?
I've got it here. Paul McCartney played Let It Be.
Let It Be, yeah, yeah. Look, yeah, Let It Be is probably the best album ever made. It's just a rehearsal recording, and they play like I absolutely love that. It's completely immersive. It takes you inside the land of the Beatles, that album. And I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
In fact, Let It Be was the last song that Paul McCartney played on that day, on 13th of July, right? Live Aid.
It was the last song, yeah.
Because I remember it really well, because I was standing right next to the piano when he was playing Let It Be. And he had handwritten the lyrics to Let It Be. And I am standing there by the piano thinking, I'm going to have those. I'll have them and put them in my pocket.
Yeah.
As soon as he walks away, I'll get them.
Did you get it?
Didn't get them.
Why?
Roadie came on, grabbed them. Yeah. And I was looking at, my mouth was kind of like watering, thinking, I couldn't even think about what was going on at that point, singing the song.
But even,
I was looking, thinking, I'm going to nick the lyrics.
Even Live Aid, though, it is like, oh, what should we do? How do we end it? Oh, I don't know. We'll out Paul McCartney.
Get Paul McCartney on. Yeah.
What's he doing?
But, bro, it was the end of an absolutely beautiful day. You ask anyone that was there, it was the perfect day. The sky was blue, 100,000 people in Wembley, 2 billion people around the world making all this money for Ethiopia, for this great charity, for this great cause. It was one of the massive charity events in our time.
A big thank you to the sponsor of this series of FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp, Norwegian Cruise Line, or NCL for short. Can you believe that not that long ago we were sailing the Caribbean, Dad?
Honestly, Ro, take me back. I mean, what were your highlights?
I'm not going to lie. I went into it prepared to love the Encore Speedway, one of the only racetracks at sea, and an NCL exclusive experience, or probably the Aquapark, featuring two multi-story water slides. I mean, come on. But I actually love the downtime.
Tell me about it. We couldn't get you out of the spa. What was that treatment you loved again?
It was the LMS facial, actually. What about you? What were your highlights?
For me, it was the food and drink. You, me and Shirley, we probably ate the best we've eaten in years. I mean, there was so much to choose from every night.
Yeah, I remember well. You struggled to choose.
Yeah, I mean, it was a challenge, wasn't it? Was I in the mood for steak, or perhaps popping into the French bistro, a Japanese restaurant, or even that Italian cuisine? Oh, I tell you what, Ro, I just enjoyed it all.
Yes, I remember very well. You were looking through the menu for 2 hours. Norwegian Cruise Line offers more with its brand new More at Sea package. More to see, more to do, more to enjoy.
Someone said, who was the most memorable performance?
Without a doubt, Queen.
Queen. Why?
The best thing in the afternoon. Freddie Mercury that afternoon was the best performer I'd ever seen in my life.
Did you ever chat to him?
Freddie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was he like?
Really nice.
Yeah?
Really nice man.
Yeah?
Really friendly. He was everything you wanted him to be, a little bit diva-ish.
Yeah.
But he was really nice.
Yeah. And then, so there's so many questions on this. Oh, this is the biggest one. Was there an after party?
There was. Yeah, there was.
Because no one knows if there was an after party at Live Aid.
No, there was.
Where's the after party? What's the vibe?
There was an after party, but I'm really sorry to say I didn't go.
What?
I didn't go. Well, because Mum had just come home. Right, so we had to go back. We'd get back in bed.
You missed the biggest after party ever.
I think it was at a club called Legends. But I didn't go to the...
What was Mum on stage? Mum was on stage at one point. What was Mum on stage for?
Mum weren't on stage, Live Aid.
Did she not go?
No. She was sitting in the wings.
That's harsh.
No, she came, but you know, like...
That's harsh, you've not let her go.
After I went home in the afternoon and we shagged, right? After a couple of hours...
Right. Minutes, yeah.
Minutes, yeah. I went back to Wembley and I met... with Mum, and Mum sat in the stands, and we were sitting like close by Lady Di and that group.
Okay.
You know?
Right. I mean, yeah. So you didn't go to the after party?
No.
Did the other lads go to the after party?
I don't know, but you have to remember, it was a little bit like a wedding, you know, where most of the bands didn't go to the after party because most of the bands were knackered. You'd been doing it all afternoon.
Knackered?
Yeah.
You'd been doing it all three afternoon. Songs?
No, but you know when you go
what
to
do you
all,
mean knackered?
You know when you go to a wedding and it lasts all day?
Yeah.
And you want to go home in the evening, you don't want to do the last party bit. That's what a little bit what it was like. That's what I felt what it was like.
Everyone said, how hot was it on stage?
Boiling.
You were wearing like, so many layers.
Yeah, it was like 100 degrees. And Tony had chosen to wear his black leather suit that looked a little bit like Dracula.
Right.
And he was sweating his bollocks off. Sweating. But listen, it's all for the sake of fashion.
They said, that, did you feel the pressure that day?
No, not really. Because Spandau at that point, we were old hands at playing to big audiences, you know. And I'm not saying sounding big-headed here,
right.
But we were old hands at doing it. And so walking on with our guitars around your neck and, you know, sitting behind your drums and getting behind a microphone.
Yeah, but you'd never played Wembley Stadium before.
No, that was the biggest gig everyone.
That's what I'm saying.
Because at that point, people weren't playing stadiums. They were only playing, like, the biggest gig you would play probably Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
Right? Which is 10,000 people.
Yeah.
But to play to 100,000 people was enormous.
80,000, but okay.
80,000.
Yeah,
2 billion. 2 billion around the world, right?
Yeah.
And it was enormous. But when you've got your guitar on and when you walk up to a microphone, you don't feel that pressure because these instincts overtake you. And you're performing, you know, you're somebody else at that time. And so you have this kind of like guise of stepping into these shoes that aren't really yours. That's how I always felt.
Was everyone watching everyone?
No. You had little tellies on in the background.
Like watching your set?
I don't think anyone
did. No one did.
No.
Just Elvis Costello waiting for you to leave.
Yeah, waiting for us to come off.
Yeah. That's so weird.
Looking at his watch, thinking, what time you're finishing?
Everyone is going, who was the biggest pain in the ass backstage?
I know, because that's all. It's funny, isn't it? That's the question everybody wants to know.
There wasn't like any tensions between people because you got so many bands and stuff like that. And like,
I don't remember tension. I don't remember. If I did, I would say it. I don't remember tension that day.
Someone said any funny story with members of Duran Duran, but they weren't there. They did the American one.
Oh, did they?
They did the American one. And guess what time they were on stage?
What?
8:40.
Yeah, that's.
But by that time, everyone's bored. I think you actually got a good slot, you know.
At the beginning, in the sunshine.
Yeah. I think you had a good slot because everyone would have been excited for it. Although the problem is that the lineup before you was a bit dead.
Do you know the best time for any live gig outdoors?
5.
It's that bit when the sun goes down.
Yeah, you too had that.
It's that bit. Yeah. It's that bit. When the sun goes down and the lights on the rig all come on, that is the best time to play any outdoor gig.
Yeah.
It's not the last slot. The last slot, a festival... Right, most people are thinking halfway through. Are thinking about, I've had enough of this. I'm going home.
I've got a good one. Who introduced you?
Oh my God. Was it not Bob Geldof?
No.
Who was it then?
No. You got Andy Peebles.
Andy Peebles. No.
Yeah.
What, was he doing a competition or something?
Who's Andy Peebles?
Andy Peebles runs the competitions on GMTV, isn't it? Is that it?
No.
Oh, that's Andy Peters. I thought he was chucking in a quick competition.
No. What? Postcode lottery?
Yeah.
Andy Peebles, radio DJ, television presenter. Passed
away.
I don't
remember that. So. I always thought... It was Bob Geldof that was introducing the bands.
No, so Richard Skinner opened the show.
Yeah, he was a DJ.
Introduced
Radio 1 DJ.
Introduced Prince Charles, Prince Diana.
Yep.
Harvey Goldsmith.
He was the promoter.
Introduced Adam Ant.
Yep. He was the promoter and... part of the old band.
Why was Noel Edmonds at Live Aid?
Well, because Noel, to get to Live Aid, because it was at Wembley and you couldn't ask the bands to get on the North Circular because, you know, because it was live show, you had to get them there at a guaranteed time. So instead of driving, Noel ran a helicopter company and from Battersea...
Right.
From the helipad there. And so he used his company to fly all the bands into Wembley Stadium by helicopter, which I wasn't very happy about.
Why?
Well, because
he was making money.
Yeah, being in a helicopter, I wasn't very happy about.
Right.
But Noel Edmonds flying the fucking thing was like
what,
too much.
Noel was flying?
He flew it. Yeah, he flew me.
No, he didn't.
Into Live Aid.
No, he didn't.
Noel Edmonds.
Noel Edmonds flew you?
Yeah, into Live Aid, into Wembley that afternoon. Yeah. Which I wasn't very happy about at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why he was there, because it was his helicopter company.
Right. Do you remember who introduced you to and the Who?
Ooh.
Big actor.
Big actor?
American.
Oh, I don't...
Jack Nicholson.
Did he? Wow.
Where were you?
Well, I was at home in bed.
Billy Connolly introduced Elton John.
Yeah.
John Hurt introduced Freddie Mercury and Brian May.
Oh, see, that's a good one. John Hurt was big at the time, wasn't he? Because he had the old Elephant Man movie out.
Oh, right.
You know, that's why he was big, I think.
The American one was quite cool.
Yeah.
Not great, but quite cool. Madonna was on there. Neil Young.
Yeah.
Neil Young, Sweet Caroline, right?
No. Oh,
that's Neil Diamond.
That's Neil Diamond.
I'm thinking of Neil Diamond because I looked at that set list and thought, has he not done Sweet Caroline? What's this? USA for Africa.
USA.
We are the world.
Yeah, we are the world. That's the Michael Jackson song, right? What they did is Band Aid, their version of Band Aid.
What is We Are the World?
We Are the World, yeah. Have you never seen that documentary?
Sorry, it's 7 minutes long.
We Are the World?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they got everyone else on singing. But have you never seen that documentary, The Greatest Night in Pop?
No.
It's absolutely
brilliant. What's it
about? Brilliant. It is all about the recording of We Are the World.
Yeah, but I've never heard that song, so it can't be the greatest moment in pop.
We are the world. We are the future.
That sounds awful.
We
Do
are
They
the
Know
ones
It's Christmas
to make
is so much better.
Day, so let's start giving.
No. Do They Know It's Christmas? See, Do They Know It's Christmas? 3 minutes 55.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The long version is 6 minutes 20.
I never heard of that. It's a remix.
What did Martin's parents think about him playing?
They were so proud. I can't tell you.
Mm.
I can't quite work out why my mum and dad didn't come to the gig. Which is really odd because Spandau were quite good. We took our parents everywhere, you know, on tours and everywhere. But they didn't come down to that. They watched it on television, but they were so proud.
Right.
Because you have to remember, it was the biggest thing that had ever happened in rock music and on television for decades, probably ever when that happened. So my mum and dad were super proud. And that not only super proud that it was me doing it, it was super proud that me and Gary were doing it together.
Right.
That they didn't have, it wasn't kind of based around one of us, you know, that we were doing it, we were both in the band.
And when did you realise you were doing it?
I think it was, I think Bob Geldof had spoken to my brother about it. A couple of months earlier about this idea of putting together a show that was based around the Band Aid single, you know, that I was telling you about, didn't make money. So Bob said, we're trying to put a show together and are you guys up for it? And Gary told me about it. So it must have been a couple of months earlier. It was all put together quite quick, that show.
What, and then on the day it's just...
Well, no, it's what I said, right? Bob asked us to do it early on.
Yeah.
And at first we were kind of like near the top of the bill.
Right.
And as the time went on, we just dripped
down.
Until we ended up going on at 10 to 2 in the afternoon.
I don't think it's that bad of a spot, though.
Well, yeah, it's not, you know, still bottom of the bill, row.
Were you annoyed about that?
Yeah, getting dropped down the bill. Yeah, I was. I wasn't happy. You know, I would rather have been like 6 o'clock in the evening.
Right. What did the others think?
I think they were all the same. I think our ego got a little bit dented that we were on so early.
I think it sounds like it that your guy's ego meant that you didn't enjoy the day.
No. Spandau had probably had the biggest ego there.
Right. So you were the divas?
Probably.
That... Did you have a reputation of that?
No, we didn't. Well, yes.
No, being honest, being honest.
We were divas. Yeah, I agree. Like,
do you know, like, if others didn't like you?
Don't know. Don't know that. They never told us. But we were divas, absolutely. Wherever we went, we needed, like, certain riders and certain things had to be in your dressing room.
Right.
We would only travel in, like, those massive limousines.
Right.
That the Queen used to drive around in.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
But that's all coming out of your pocket.
Hey?
That's all coming out of your pocket.
Yeah, we spent it. Yeah, yeah. Parties every night. Did the whole thing, whole rock and roll thing from beginning to end.
Do you think you made any money off Spandau Ballet?
Yeah, yeah, I made enough to get by.
Yeah.
But not as much as you would think, but I made a good wage throughout the 80s.
Because you know, that's the thing, it's like, I think, like, you must have just blown so much dough.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
On rubbish.
But when you're younger, when you're at that point.
Yeah, how old are you at this point? How old are you?
25.
How old were you at Live Aid? 25?
Yeah, I'm 25, and I think that money will be coming in forever. If not that money, more money. Because you're just ambitious.
And who's at these parties after the gigs?
Well, everybody who went to the gig.
What, fans?
Not fans, but all, like, you know, say we did a gig, you would have, like, 100 people on the guest list, and all of those people were invited back to the party afterwards.
Mum must have hated that.
Must have done. Yeah, must have done.
I'm tired talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. To the point where, like, I would get up on stage and I hadn't been to sleep for probably 3 days.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It was bad. It was bad. But listen, I look back at it now and I think I'm glad it was bad. Because that's what I wanted at the time.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a rock star.
I think that was good. You answered a lot of questions on Live Aid. Just shame you didn't play Gold and you played Virgin instead.
I know, yeah. Idiots.
Well, look, that's the last one for a while now.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, bro. I love
my allocated time of hanging out with you is done. Thank God for that.
I love coming in here. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, the piss ripped out of me.
It's not.
You do most of the time.
You do it to me.
Yeah, but, you know, well, all right, we do it to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
We do it to each other, right? Yeah. And I quite enjoy it. No. And I have really enjoyed myself coming in here chatting with you. It's the only time I get to see you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, thanks so much for listening to this series. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want more, just let us know. And
let's do more.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Sponsoring this series of FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp, is Norwegian Cruise Line, or NCL for short.
Yeah, now listen, Ro, because I know a thing or two about ships.
Oh, here we go.
Norwegian Cruise Line has been a trailblazer in shaping the Caribbean cruise experience as we know it today. As the first cruise line to offer weekly departures from the Caribbean, NCL revolutionised the industry, right? Making this stunning region more accessible to travellers worldwide. From pioneering the concept of exclusive private islands with Great Stirrup Cay to developing new ports across the Caribbean, NCL's legacy and expertise have solidified its position as a leader in Caribbean cruising.
I mean, wow. Where have you pulled that from? I mean, look, okay, fine. You know a thing or two about ships. I'll take that. Now, one thing, though, that really stood out to me.
Did you say private island?
Yeah, I did, Ro. NCL was also the first cruise line to pioneer the concept of an exclusive private island with Great Stirrup Cay.
So you get to actually go to a private island. That's insane.
With NCL's new package, you can now get even more out of your cruise holiday. Norwegian Cruise Line offers more with its brand new More at Sea package. More to see, more to do, more to enjoy. FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp, is an Insanity Studios production. The head of production is Charlotte Mason. The head of digital is Ed Buckley. And the production assistant is Abby Sandler.